The Socrates Express, in search of life lessons from dead philosophers. We are hungry. We eat and eat some more, yet still we are hungry. Sometimes we experience the hunger as fate presence. Other times, when the world is upended and fear roams unchecked, the hunger swells and threatens to consume us. We reach for our smartphones. With a swipe of the finger, we can access all human knowledge from ancient Egypt to quantum physics. We gobble it up, but we are still hungry. What is this hunger that cannot be sated? We don't want what we think we want. We think we want information and knowledge. We do not. We want wisdom. There's a difference. Information is a jumble of facts, knowledge a more organized jumble. Wisdom untangles the facts, makes sense of them, and crucially, suggests how best to use them. As the British musician Miles Kingston said, quote, "Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting that tomato in a fruit salad," end quote. Knowledge knows. Wisdom sees. Knowledge is something you possess. Wisdom is something you do. It is a skill, and like all skills, one you can learn. But it requires effort. Expecting to acquire wisdom by luck is like expecting to play the violin by luck. And so opens The Socrates Express by Eric Weiner. I really like how our author uses everyday themes to explore the intellectual everyday impacts of the ancients to the modern day philosophers, starting with whether or not to get out of bed in the morning. Weiner plumbs the ancient Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius and the post-war French thinker Sartre to plumb the depths of that intense and personal question. Question about wisdom, perhaps. Is it wise to get out of bed this morning? Why? Why not? Well, we begin our journey into philosophy with a literal journey on Amtrak, taking the Northern Express from Chicago to Portland, replicating a trip I took long ago, strangely enough, and so comfort food for my mind, perhaps for yours. As he trundles across the great north of the U.S. on Amtrak, Weiner has ample time to enjoy the scenery, await the perky proddings of Miss Emily to visit the dining car, and to read about philosophy. Through this conceit of the mind and the body, Weiner dives into the diverse philosophical views of the ancients, Plato, Epicurus, those who came before the modern world, and walks us into the modern world as well, and all along offering us incredibly warm-hearted and deceptively easy-to-understand journeys into the life-explaining world of Western and Eastern philosophies through the ages. This is indeed the explanation of philosophy that so many of us seek. We take introductory philosophy courses in college or devour both the original treatises and the Philosophy for Dummies knockoffs in our individual searches for enlightenment and wisdom. The Socrates Express, then, is a 300-page encouragement to live philosophy, as so many philosophers have encouraged us to do. At one point, Weiner tells us, gardens and philosophies go well together. Voltaire, the darling of the French Enlightenment, said, quote, "We must cultivate our gardens," end quote. The 17th century English writer and gardener John Evelyn agreed, adding that, quote, "The air and the genius of gardens," end quote, "lend themselves to," quote, "philosophical enthusiasms," end quote. I love that phrase, Weiner writes. The world needs more philosophical enthusiasts, not students of philosophy, and God knows not experts, but enthusiasts with all of the unabashed gusto the word implies, gardens sequestered from the noise of the world lend themselves to such philosophical enthusiasms. He goes on, gardens require tending, so do our thoughts. Someone who thinks is not a philosopher any more than someone who putters about in his backyard is a gardener. Both pursuits, gardening and philosophy, require an adult's disciplined commitment combined with a child's ease, joy. Both pursuits represent an attempt to create, not impose. The gardener collaborates with nature, dresses it up, as Voltaire said. The gardener does her bit, planting and shoveling and weeding, but ultimately, the fate of her garden lies elsewhere. It rests with the natural processes, and yes, the magic that unfolds within the garden walls. Philosophy contains its own magic, provided you do the hard work. And that hard work, not so hard with this book, but I'm sure as we delve deeper and deeper into original treatises, we'll get there. Today's book, this ever so practical book of wisdom, begins with dawn. As the action verbs that begin our journey into thought continue to flourish, the how-tos, how to wonder like Socrates, how to see the world like Thoreau, in a chapter where we are treated to walks around Thoreau's old haunts in Concord, from the village to the pond. And we rediscover Thoreau through his journals and through the ways the author sees the prototypical New England philosopher intersecting with Marcus Aurelius and Socrates. Musings that enlighten both the 19th century American thinker, ourselves today, and, yes, reaches back to touch upon the ancients. In that same section, we learn how to walk like Rousseau and how to listen like Schopenhauer. Noon beckons, and we're invited to pay attention like Simone Weil. Fight like Gandhi, be kind like Confucius, and appreciate the small things like, say, Shonagon. And then because the day as our lives must signal an end, we move to dusk, where we wrap up our lives on earth through the philosophies of Simone de Beauvoir, Friedrich Nietzsche, and finally, explore how to die with the justly famed essayist of the early modern era in Europe, Montaigne. It's an intriguing way to end both our considerations of life and this book. As you'll have noticed, we follow Weiner's path into philosophy through life's experiences, spending a bit of time in the ancient world, the modern world, the awakening rebirth of Western and Eastern intellectual curiosity. And so in sum, this is philosophy as revealed by some of the greatest thinkers of the Western and the Eastern worlds, from the ancients through the moderns, filtered through the contemporary experiences of our author, a middle-aged white dude, accompanied on some of his travel and philosophical journeys by his skeptical 13-year-old daughter, whose ability to tweak the author's occasional pontifications and doubts provides Weiner with some of the most insightful moments of the book. And the writing, oh my! I often go on about how beautiful an author's writing is, what a delight it is to read. Well, this author is not about beauty, but about ease. Choosing his words so that they unravel the complexities of the philosophers about whom he writes with clear and compelling text. Not dumbing down, but not presuming his readers don't want to think through the philosophies they are reading about, either. It's marvelous stuff. Is this the be-all and the end-all of philosophical learning? Of course not. That's not the kind of question a practitioner, much less a student of philosophy or of any other endeavor, would ask. But this book is, once again, a great introduction to thought, to wisdom. Let's allow Montaigne to not only wrap up what life is all about, but to wrap up our review today. As our author tells us, Montaigne's philosophy boils down to this: trust yourself. trust your experiences. Trust your doubts, too. Let them guide you through life and to this threshold of death. Cultivate the capacity to be surprised by others and by yourself. Tickle yourself. Remain open to the possibility of possibility. And for God's sake, says Montaigne, joining hands with his compatriot Simone Weil, pay attention. It's a book, yet, yes, cannot help but pay attention to, because it's fun to read, both for the intellect and just for the pure joy of the writing. The Socrates Express, In Search of Life Lessons from Dead Philosophers by Eric Weiner. It's a fantastic read. Hope you pick it up. Give it a try. What a great book to read over the holiday season or really any time of the year. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.